The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All things New Orleans Saints.
This is Who Dat Discussion.
Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say they gonna be them Saints?
Powered by Overtime Media.
What is up, Who Dat Nation? Welcome back into another off-season episode of the Who Dat Discussion. As always, I'm your host, Andrew Galata. You could follow me on Twitter at Andrew Galata, and then also you can follow the podcast on Twitter at the Who Dat Dis. And we have another fun episode in store for you guys today. We're back on YouTube as our last episode with Brendan Boylan of Saints News Network, also award nominated film producer. He was on the podcast last week and we had a lot of fun talking with him, but because my tech skills aren't just top-notch 100%, couldn't get both of our videos into the YouTube form. I may still post the podcast just like without the videos, but definitely check out that podcast if you haven't already. And we're going to continue our talk on the NFL draft. Not that much news, we'll get into some news as well, but a lot of draft talk as we're a few weeks away now, 2 weeks away to the NFL draft, and I just can't wait for the drafts to be really fun. The Saints obviously have to fill up some holes. I believe they'll do it through the draft, maybe through some late rounds of free agency as well. But I mean, now it's probably going to be that free agency will be after the draft. So it'll be interesting what the Saints do, as maybe there'll be a Quan Alexander reunion. And that's kind of interesting how the Saints are open to that, it's seeming, as he's coming back. I mean, from his injury, and no team has signed him yet. So that's, to me, moving him towards a Saints reunion. The Saints actually did sign a receiver, which we'll get into as well. Jalen McClensky from Tulane in Oklahoma State. He was with the Falcons last year as he was signed as an undrafted free agent. We're just going to, I think, just jump right into that to start, as this is kind of the new news for today, as the Saints did reach a one-year deal with the former Tulane player and then also Oklahoma State. He had his best year at Oklahoma State, I should say. He had 7 touchdowns back in 2016, and he had 73 catches that year as only a sophomore. And he played games as a freshman, looked like he was going to really take that next step in his next 2 years, and then just did not. And, you know, his senior year only had 4 games, which is why he had a grad year, and he went to and transferred to Tulane, where he finished off his career, had 4 touchdowns there, had a game-winning touchdown against Houston. So, I mean, that's obviously in the Tulane folklore, but definitely a local player. But it should be really fun to see what he can do. I mean, at his pro day, he had a 4.28 40-yard dash time. So he's a burner, and he can really, speed it downfield. And for the Saints, obviously looking to stretch their field with a new quarterback in there, whether it be Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, that's definitely going to be a weapon. And we'll see what the Saints can do with him if they can start to develop him. The Saints have been pretty good at developing receivers. I mean, you look at Deontay Harris, you know, I look at Marquez Callaway, they've been able to find receivers in the rough here. I mean, even ones that were just like training camp, guys that ended up being, you know, I think like they flashed in training camp and didn't end up making the team, like a guy like Emmanuel Butler. Or, I mean, the Saints just seem they're pretty good at adding that undrafted free agent talent. Even the players that maybe made the team and didn't, you know, do like amazing things, but they still made the team, like little Jordan Humphrey, who was there. And like those things to me matter. And maybe he's a player that does that. He said he models his game off Julian Edelman, which I thought was really interesting. So more of a slot guy, which to me is interesting. And I think he's a player that, just looking at his size, you could definitely see him being that burner. I mean, 5'11", 165. So definitely, you know, not like 200 pounds, but 5'11 is not too short. I mean, it's not like, you know, tall, but it's not like too short. And, you know, when you have that speed, that's obviously really helps. 4.28, and, you know, even like 4.3, like that's great speed. And like the thing is with speed, and we were talking about it last week, like Deontay Harris, you know, he's got speed, but also he's got that short area quickness. I'll be interested to see if McClensky also has that short area quickness, because if he does, then you actually see a guy that maybe not just be a deep ball, he could also be in the short area as well, and then he could be used like a Darren Sproles type guy, and that makes you a lot more versatile. That doesn't make that makes you more one of a kind. Doesn't make you like a run and a middle speedster, because at the end of the day, you know, there are a lot of those in the NFL. And, you know, in the Saints offense, you'd like someone that could also win in that short field. Deontay Harris can do it. Maybe McClensky can do it as well. So a guy that's going to be depth in training camp here. We'll see. Maybe he grows from there. And, you know, still a young player. And we'll just see where he kind of goes from there. But it'll definitely be very interesting to see, you know, what he can do. And, again, he'll be a guy that, with that speed, try to get open that short area, long throws as well. And we'll kind of see what happens with him. So it seems like he wants to model his game off of Julian Edelman. You'd think he's going to be kind of in the slot for the Saints, and maybe he'll be trying out for that type of receiver role for the team, but we'll see what ends up happening with him. But definitely wanted to mention, you know, his signing and acknowledge that, as we'll see what happens. And, you know, he'll be another guy that adds to this 90-man roster, as, you know, we will have preseason games this year. We will have training camps. It'll be very fun to see how that all works out there. So that was one piece of news. And then kind of the other big piece of news was, like, I mean, there were a few, but like we talked about the Kwon Alexander, I just want to kind of go over that shortly. Just like, to me, that could be shaping up to bringing him back. I honestly think the Saints will try to bring in probably one more veteran, and whether that's a Richard Sherman or Josh Norman, maybe at the cornerback position, or maybe like a TJ Carey, who is kind of linked to the Saints. He visited with the Saints, or it's going to be a linebacker. And to me, that linebacker would be Kwon Alexander. And he's the guy that I think the Saints would go out and get coming back from the Achilles injury. If it's, you know, if he's doing well with that Achilles and he's going to come back strong, get him for sure. And even if, like, you know, you have to see that, if it's only a 1-year deal, it's not that much money, you know, you still try that out. So I think that'll be really interesting to see how that works. And honestly, I think the Saints, like, they get Kwon, they'll bring back Kwon, and then they'll get a cornerback in the first round. That's just kind of what I think what they do. And it'll be really interesting to see how that all works out. But I think watch out that Kwon may come back. I would actually, you know, not that it's being telegraphed, but to me, it's definitely being, you know, I feel like we're kind of going that way. I think we're inching towards that resolution where he comes back to the Saints, tests out his Achilles, and if it all works out, he'll start for the Saints. And that's, I think, kind of your best case scenario. And, you know, we'll see how that plays from there. Now, you definitely want to add depth with him. I think they will. But if you put in Kwon, hedge your bets. We all know how much I like that. I think that's really solid. So that's just kind of what I think that the Saints are doing here, kind of in this news area. And not a lot of it, but there was some news. Obviously, the Kyle Trask news last week was very interesting. I mean, you did have Julian Edelman when we spoke about him. He retired. And then, you know, I think a lot of people are like, because everyone's like, the Patriots fans are like, oh, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. No, he's not. I mean, let's just push it back. He's got worse stats. And, you know, everyone talks about his playoff production. Marcus Colson is just as good playoff production and better stats, and both won't get in the Hall of Fame. So that's just kind of it. I mean, a lot of podcasters have done some really good, you know, comparisons about that. Chris Rolls-Voglu did a great podcast with the Straight Up Saints, and just talking about that a little bit, so I thought that was really fun. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. If you want to see like more of that breakdown, I think it's a fun conversation. Just, I mean, a little late into the game, and I wanted to more get on to, you know, what the Saints are doing now. Obviously, with them, you know, signing a guy like McClensky, you know, I wanted to put that in the news. Maybe this is a little less, but, you know, definitely some great stuff that they were putting out, and it's just, it's interesting why, you know, he gets all that hype. He gets all the hype because he won the Super Bowls, but doesn't have the Pro Bowlers, doesn't have the numbers. And, you know, you look at a guy like Colson, who gets absolutely no, you know, news, no noteworthy stuff. And he was, first of all, really good regular season stat-wise, but then also really good in the playoffs as well. Just didn't have the volume as Edelman has. You know, Saints just, there was those years where he was still, you know, a really solid receiver, but the Saints weren't making the playoffs 2014, 2015, 2012. He was still doing really good, but Saints were making the playoffs early in his career, 2007, 2008. So, you know, that was just kind of how it was with that. But to me, that is, you know, kind of all the news and definitely some interesting things. I mean, you add the receiver, which to me could be a big move. I mean, we'll just have to see. And, you know, it's just another guy you add to the roster. You need to kind of put him in that same, you know, realm battling for those last roster spots. But he can definitely do it, and especially if you want to add someone in the draft, maybe later rounds, which I think the Saints will do. I think that's definitely, you know, very, very good there. And then, you know, talking about Kwon, I honestly think it's inching towards a comeback, but we'll have to see more with the free agents. Won't get much news on that really until after the draft, so we'll definitely keep tabs on all of this, but really after the drafts, free agency will start back up again, and you'll see kind of a lot of veterans sign, because there's a lot of veterans available, but we'll talk about that after the draft and see what holes the Saints still need to fill. But until then, it's really going to be all draft talk. So you're going to hear these rumors, and we'll get on those rumors, but really it's going to be mostly draft talk, which is what we're going to get into next. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk all about this continuation of our mock draft. We did the first two rounds. First round, we picked Zaven Collins, and the second round I did with Brendan Boylan. We kind of, you know, he picked the cornerback that he wanted, and then I didn't want to go back-to-back on cornerback, so I diversified a little bit and went interior defensive line. So definitely check out that second round if you want more info on that. We'll talk about it more when we get back as well. So now we're going to do the third round mock today, and we'll get the Saints two picks. They got pick 98 and then 105, so we'll definitely jump into those when we get back from this short break. You are listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Welcome back into the Who Dat Discussion. And now we're going to get into our NFL draft talk, continuing our mock draft over the last two episodes. So when we first started this, we did the first round, pick Zaven Collins, the big linebacker out of Tulsa. I think he'll fit really well with the Saints, so I think that would be a really solid pick for them. It was really between him and then a cornerback guy like maybe Greg Newsome. And I ended up going Zaven Collins because I thought there was a little more depth with the cornerbacks. And, you know, I feel like you can hedge your bets with another veteran as well, which I think the Saints will probably end up doing if they don't get a cornerback in the first round. So, again, I feel like right now I just went with a linebacker because I like the depth a little later for cornerback. So Zaven Collins was my first pick. Then second round, I think this is really interesting when you get into it here. And I did it with Brendan Boylan from the Saints News Network. Definitely check out that episode if you haven't already. It's on iTunes and all of those sites, Spotify, but it is not on YouTube. I'm going to try to maybe put it up, but it's not like with our faces. It would just be pictures. So I thought just like putting it on the audio sites would be better. I just haven't quite yet, as I said earlier with the technology, haven't quite yet been able to do like two faces at once. So right now, you can only do the YouTube episodes with like my face in the with one person. So we're working on that. And hopefully for our next collab, we'll have them both there. So that would be really fun. So I can't wait for that. But now, you know, going back to what we did, it was very interesting, I thought, because we obviously had the linebacker in the first. And then I think cornerback is where you naturally go. I think doubling up is the right decision for the Saints. So I think they will. And then it's just like, where do you go? And cornerback was one main area. Asante Samuel was off the board. He would be the guy at 60. If he's available, I'd go get. I'd probably move up to 55 and go get him if he's still available. We talked about that as well. But he wasn't there. It was more of the Aaron Robinson type players. You know, it was more of the Elijah Molden type players as well. And those were the cornerbacks there. Brendan ended up going with Elijah Molden. He said he was just more familiar with him, so that's why he picked him over Robinson. But, you know, if it was up to them two, for me, I'd probably go Robinson. But you know, I think both of them are probably around the same player. But that's just kind of what I saw between those two guys. And then interior defensive line, I thought was an area that the Saints could definitely add him. Obviously lost Sheldon Rankins. You need someone to kind of fill his role. And you obviously lost Malcolm Brown as well. So, you know, you want someone to fill that. And on the outside, you lost a lot of guys. So I was really keying in on Milton Williams from Louisiana Tech. He was still available. You know, just looking at his value and what he can bring to the table as an instant contributor in the second round to, you know, play multiple positions, could play, you know, that defensive end, could be, you know, inside as a three tech. I really like that. Kind of reminds me of like maybe what the Saints did with like Mario Edwards, excuse me, there. I think they could do something similar with him. So, if I probably didn't go cornerback, it would have been really close. So Brendan went with the cornerback. I went with the defensive, interior player. And, you know, we'll kind of just, like, for this third round mock, I'll just kind of basically, like, say, well, if we pick the cornerback, this is where we pick. If we pick the, interior guy, this is who we pick. So that's just kind of what it was there. But for this first third round pick in number 98, we're just going to, get right into it. And for this pick, to me, you've got to go offense because you already went two in a row. I think you still have some worries on the offense, so you're not going to probably go three straight defensive picks. So I wanted to go back to the offense. And for me, the biggest area, just looking at these names, which we'll get into in a second, the biggest area for me is kind of that offensive line. So if you can add an offensive lineman, this would be great. Maybe obviously more of a depth developmental guy, but I think receiver would be another area, tight end too. But right now, there weren't a lot of tight ends available. Receiver, I think, you can kind of wait. The Saints have been good at waiting, getting that fourth round pick, and that's probably I'd jump on a receiver. But third round, I think, you're looking at the guys that were available. There were a few interior guys. There was one tackle that was available that I like a little more here for this offense. So here are the guys just running down the list as, I'm just going to, on the podcast, I'll say them, and then on YouTube, I'll obviously say them as well, but I'll also put it up on the screen. So just starting it off here, this is all from the Draft Network. This is their ranking system of the best available. Thank you to Draft Network so we can do these simulations. It's really fun. PFF does something similar, but for this one, we did do a Draft Network. So first was the best available was Michael Carter from UNC. He is a running back. Then the next guy was Kenneth Gainwell, another running back out of Memphis. Then you had Quincy Roach, the edge rusher out of Miami. Then you had Trey Sermon, the running back out of Ohio State and also Oklahoma. Then Trey Smith, the interior offensive lineman from Tennessee. Ben Cleveland, he was the interior lineman from Georgia. Then you have Robert Rochelle, the cornerback from Central Arkansas. And then Jay Tuffle, the interior defensive lineman from USC. There are also a few other guys available. Kyle Trask was there. The offensive tackle I was talking about was James Hudson from Cincinnati. So those are kind of the guys available. Tyler Shelvin from LSU is available. Alan McNeil from NC State. The interior defensive lineman was also available. So those are kind of the guys that were on the board. And for me, I keyed in on the two interior guys, and that's what we'll talk about. Trey Smith and Ben Cleveland. And these are the two guys I'd probably go after. Both guys are just huge human beings. Both 6'6". Trey Smith is 320. Ben Cleveland's 343. These are big human beings. And they're going to plug up space. They're going to be very, very powerful in the interior. And, kind of when looking at this, Ben Cleveland has a little more mobility. And he's, kind of a little better about getting out in space, which I think the Saints would probably like better. Trey Smith is probably the better power player. If you want someone that could be power and line him up and go, which I think the Saints maybe need a little bit of that, to be honest with you. They have a lot of those zone running schemes, which is, that's what they run for the most part, so I understand that. But, you look at Larry Wofford, he wasn't a zone guy, but he fit really well with the Saints. And I think that looking at a guy like Ben Cleveland could be similar, or a guy like Trey Smith could be similar as well. But I think when you look at Cleveland, he's a little more mobile. And, he's a little more better about getting out in space. Still very good at, doing that power stuff and, what he kind of does. But getting out in space is something he does as well. So he kind of do a little both of those. When Trey Smith, he's big, powerful guy. He's kind of 100% power and he's really good at that. And then, just body control something for him is a little lacking just because he's so big and that could be an issue. But like Ben Cleveland, his hand placement isn't the best, for power and all that stuff. Leverage isn't the best sometimes, could be overreaching sometimes, which isn't the best. And, he's kind of the guy that maybe could do a little bit of both, a little mobile, a little power. He's more of a power guy, but, I think he could get out there if needed. And then you'll look at, Trey Smith, maybe just all power. He can get out a little bit, but really he's kind of more of that power guy. And I think the Saints would probably go Cleveland, I think, in that respect, just because he does have mobility and maybe, a guy that could be a little more flexible, but not that much more. And Trey Smith, I mean, he's maybe the player that I would go if it was just me and just drafting, but just what the Saints like and what they like to draft, they're probably going to go Ben Cleveland if they had to pick between the two. But that's just based on their preferences and what they usually pick. But I mean, it's just, both same grade from NFL.com, both 6.18, which ranks them as good backups and good depth to start, and then they can project into the starter role later. So both guys rated very similarly, 95 and 99 in the Draft Network. So very similar players, and I could see them picking either or. Ben Cleveland's probably the guy, he's the guy I'm going to select for the Saints, but Trey Smith may be the better just power guy, and he does a lot of really good stuff, but also body control's an issue, and he can kind of end up on the ground like Andrew Speed sometimes. So that's kind of the difference. And, you know, I feel like Trey Smith, though, you know, could have those like really big win plays like Andrews Pete has. So a very interesting there, but doesn't get out in space as much. So, you know, it's just kind of that, you know, that weighing between the two. I think the Saints would go Cleveland, so that's who I'll pick. But I think it's just very close between these two guys. And you can go either or, and I'd be very, very happy. I mean, it's just like when looking at this pick, the Saints aren't going to go running back. You already have that. You could go edge rusher, but, you know, you went two defensive picks in a row. You're probably not going to go three. That's just kind of how I look. Robert Rochelle was a guy that I really like. And especially, you know, if I picked, you know, Milton Williams. So if I have Milton Williams and, you know, Zaven Collins, I would have probably really liked to pick Robert Rochelle here, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until 105. If he's still there, I'm going to pick Robert Rochelle. I'll just say that right now. We'll see if he's there. We'll show you guys in just a bit, but I'm going to wait so I can pick the offensive linemen because they're not going to be there probably. Those are your best two offensive linemen available. I bet at least one of them will be gone in that next pick, just over your next eight picks. That's probably what's going to happen. If you want a quarterback, Kyle Trask still available. Saints were connected with him. I'd rather see what I got this year at quarterback, maybe fourth, fifth round. Not right now. I would rather have the interior player that I like best and, you know, add to that depth there. But Trask is available. Maybe if Kellen Mond was available, I'd think about drafting him. Or Davis Mills maybe, but they're not. Kyle Trask was there. I'll hold off for a second. But I think Kyle Trask isn't awful value in the third round if he fell to 105. That's not bad value for him, you know, at the end of the third round. I honestly think he's more of like a second round talent. Maybe like late second round. I mean, a lot of people aren't that high on him. I'm not like high on him. You know, I don't think he's a first round talent, but I do think that he's kind of in that Mac Jones area. I think, you know, I think I'm more like end of first round for Mac Jones, beginning of the second round for Kyle Trask, you know, so like around 50 for Kyle Trask, probably 40 for Mac Jones or 30 for Mac Jones. That's just kind of how I am, you know, between those guys. I think they fall in the same area. That's just kind of how I feel. I don't think Mac Jones is like a bad prospect, but I don't think he's a top 10 prospect. And that's kind of the same with Kyle Trask and like Davis Mills and those guys, Kellen Mond. I think like, you know, when you're looking at the groups of draft, I think you have the top four. I think you have Lance, Fields, Lawrence, and then Zach Wilson. And then I think you back them up in your second. This is kind of your end of first, second. So I think your end of first guy would be Mac Jones. But then after that, I think it's more of like, you know, in that 40 to 50 range, I think Mond, then you have Trask, then you have Davis Mills. I think they're all in that area, that probably 60. And then after that, you go into like the third, fourth rounds. I think that's when you get the Jamie Newman types. And then, you know, beyond that, Sam Ellinger, maybe sixth round, you know how I get you guys, you know, I'm trying to get at. But that's just kind of my first round guys, second round guys, third round and beyond. But I do think Trask would be good value at 105. I just feel like this team has other needs and they have a quarterback. You have two quarterbacks you got to try out here. I mean, you got to try out Winston and you got to try out Hill. You got to see if one of them's they're your future. You're just giving them, you know, you've put enough into them that they have 1 year. And if it doesn't work out, you're probably not that good. And then you get your first round pick. As I said last week, that's what I'd go. But that's, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they got Trask. I just think that right now the value would be better to pick the interior, help out the quarterbacks that are already in the building with some offensive line. Now moving to 105, and this is going to be a very interesting pick because, you know, you look at the guys who are on the board. First, Kenneth Gainwell, who was there the first time. You have Trey Sermon, who was there as well, so both running backs. Robert Rochelle still on the board, which probably I already tipped my hand. He's going to be the guy that I'm going to go, but I'll tell you why later. Jay Tuffle still there. If you pick now, if you have Robinson already, then you probably, you're obviously not going to go Rochelle. And you're gonna go someone else here. And, you know, then you look at a guy like Tuffle. I think Jay Tuffle could be a guy. I think, you know, looking at the guys still available, Aylin McNeil is still there. Tyler Shelvin's still there. Kyle Trask is still there. Then you could kind of, you know, think about other guys. But right now, this, you know, in the mock that I said, so I said Milton Williams, so I'll stick with that. I think your third round, you know, you got to get a cornerback. You got to get a cornerback in your top three. And this is where you go out and, you know, you get your guy here with Rochelle. And Robert Rochelle from Central Arkansas, so a smaller school guy. So I think that's why he's not going to be that top, you know, not that top two rounds, because it is a smaller school. But he's got really good measurables, and I really like what he was able to do in his tape. You know, looking at his prospect grade from NFL.com, 6.25, so that's right around, you know, a guy that's going to start in the first 2 years. He's a projected starter within the first 2 years, so he's right around there. So that's really good. Like, that's obviously what the Saints want, maybe 1 year sit, but then, you know, maybe if they can talk him up to play, that's great. His NFL comparisons, James Bradbury. That would be amazing for the Saints, you know, to get someone like him. And he's got the physical, he's got the athletic skills. I mean, you know, he's 6 foot, 193. That's obviously really good. His arms are 32 and a half. That's good. Hands, 8.5 inches. That's not bad as well. I mean, he's a guy that was 10th in interceptions in the whole FCS in his junior year. You know, he had a good year. He went to the Senior Bowl. That's obviously really good. And he's got the length, he's got the size, he's got the explosiveness. That's really good. And, you know, evaluators, according to NFL.com, are just buzzing of, you know, his numbers, his testing numbers here. But, you know, he has all the tools to play in both man and zone. That's great. He played in the press man in college. He has more experience with that, which is what he'd probably primarily do with the Saints. But he can also play that cover three. He can play that zone. That's obviously really, really good. He's, you know, able to do, to me, I think a lot of good stuff in both areas. Now, I do think that probably a year of him, like if you're hedging your bets, you put him with a veteran, that'll probably do him a lot of good just because he's coming from a small school, and throwing him right into the fire probably wouldn't be the best idea. That's why he's being picked in the third round. But I think probably throughout the year, he'd get better and better and better. Maybe like a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson type where he starts the year, you know, with Patrick Robinson, but then, you know, and PJ Williams, but then as the year goes on, like 2019, he ends up taking that nickel corner slot. I do think Rochelle can do the same thing. And that's just kind of what I'm looking at there. And, you know, you're looking at his strengths. You know, he's got the explosive skill set. He's very good at, you know, with his long arms, getting into, you know, the wide receiver's grill, making catches. He has really good ball hawking talent. He has 12 interceptions in his career. That's really good. He can catch the ball. That's something, great takeaways. He's got really good recovery speed on deep balls. That's really good, catching back up even after he's beat. He's got the physical traits, got the athletic traits. And then also, you know, he's able to play man. He's, you know, good at, with his technique in that realm. I think zone, I think he's played it before, and I think he's familiar with it. I just think he probably needs some work there. That's just kind of, you know, what I'm thinking there. His, you know, his technique, I obviously, coming from a smaller school, is going to have to get better. You know, I think he, you know, could maybe use a little help with the press technique for sure. And then just, like, you know, he can be persuaded by, like, fakes from the wide receiver, more veteran moves. He's going to bite him. That's just kind of what he is. So, you know, maybe some things like that, if you get what I'm saying. Just, like, more of those that you pick up just as you play better talent. And that's what I think he's going to need to do. And just like, I feel like that's just kind of what, you know, he has all the tools. It's just now he's got to develop them. I think, you know, a guy like Chris Richard can help him that with that. I think he's familiar with playing in a lot of areas, but I just think he needs more play. You know, he needs more play against top talent. But I think all that stuff as he plays, you know, I think he'll be a quick learner and be a good pick. I honestly see that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson projection. He maybe doesn't start the year, but by like week 10, he's starting. And I think he could be that guy because he just has all the intangibles. You just got to help him put it together. And, you know, just what I'll put one quote from, you know, this is from NFL.com of what an area scout for an AFC team said. He said, this guy, this is the guy that a lot of scouts are talking about because he's got long arms and how he's going to test. Obviously, scouting combine, pro day, all that stuff. There are teams out there who will draft him alone on that and they don't care about his tape. So, like, you know, to me, I think his tape is good, you know, and you see it. You just don't know what to put into it because he played at FCS schools. But again, I feel like his tape is good. He jumps off the screen. Like, he jumps off as like he's the best player. So that's obviously really important. But that's just kind of all that stuff when you're looking at Rochelle, as I think he's going to be, you know, a good player. And, you know, he's kind of that guy in the third round that just like Gardner-Johnson, I think will get better throughout. And he'll end up being a really solid pickup for the Saints. So he is who I pick at 105, so kind of recapping it, we're able to get Ben Cleveland with 98 or a Trey Smith. I think they'll end up going Cleveland, like, if they were down to the two, so we'll pick him. And then we'll go with Robert Rochelle from Central Arkansas, the cornerback, with our 105th pick. So at this point, we got Zaven Collins and then Milton Williams, but then also, you know, looking at guys like Aaron Robinson as well. We were really between those two guys, and then we were with Brendan Boylan. He picked Elijah Molden. And then third round, we went in with 105, we went Robert Rochelle, and then 98, we went Ben Cleveland. So that's our first four picks. Our next, you know, episode, we're going to get into the last four picks. Hopefully we'll get a wide receiver in there, you know, some other stuff as well. To me, and maybe another like special teams cornerback, a safety maybe, like to just like, you know, play special teams, but also could develop into a maybe safety down the line as well. So definitely get into that too. But I mean, I am liking the guys we have so far. And I think the second round, maybe it would have filled out better if we moved up And then, you know, if you ended up not getting, you know, let's say you ended up getting a guy like Asante Samuel, you still get a guy like Ben Cleveland. But then in that fourth round, you could pick someone else like Alen McNeil, who I think would be a good defensive. You know, I think Milton Williams is better, but I think Alen McNeil is, you know, he's more of a one tech. But I think he could do maybe a little of both. And, you know, he's a guy that could, I think, be a solid pick, seeing with Tyler Shelvin, who's more of a one tech. But again, I feel like you could have went interior in the third instead of the second. Probably get, I don't like as much value, but I think, you know, the drop off is less than cornerback, probably from Asante Samuel to Rochelle, maybe a different drop off from, you know, Williams to McNeil. But that's nothing against Rochelle. I think he's a good player, and I think for third round 105, that's great value. And we'll just see what happens from here. So again, we'll be back with the last four picks of the mock next week, and then after that, we'll do a full mock, and then it'll be draft time, and then it'll be really, really fun. I just cannot wait. Saints, 8 picks, so definitely they'll be busy, so that'll be really, really fun. But I think with all that said, it is time to wrap up the show. If you like what we're doing here at the Who Dat Discussion, you should definitely follow us on all of our social media platforms. That means on Twitter, you can follow us at the Who Dat Dis. On Instagram, you can follow us at Who Dat Discussion. Then also, you can listen to the podcast wherever you get all your other shows, that be YouTube, we're on there now with like the video, but then also obviously iTunes, Spotify, you know, all that stuff we are on. So I think with all that said, I wanted to say thank you guys for listening. Turn it loose and who dat?